It's going to be a good one today here on Prep Sports Now. Case Kiefer with Ray Brewer. So much to talk about. A crazy week in high school football last week. But first of all, before we get ahead of ourselves, let's look ahead to the huge game this weekend. National prominence on the line. Bishop Gorman, De La Salle. You always hear about De La Salle. Now Bishop Gorman thrusting themselves on the national scene. Ray, how big is this game?
Well, I mean, it's huge, especially for the Las Vegas area. We have one of our teams going to play a nationally respected opponent. The game's going to be on CBS television. Case, the UNLV game's going to be on 334 on Cox, 333 Gorman De La Salle. You could go back and forth and watch the games, you know, two Las Vegas teams. You obviously want to see Gorman do well. I know sometimes a lot of folks hate Gorman around town because they're the private school and that's the nature in any city. But this is such a unique opportunity for our children to go get some exposure. And it's going to be a great environment for high school football. They packed that stadium with about 4,000 or 5,000 people, and it's going to be a real football game.
Interesting dynamic with that 333 and 334. I didn't realize that. So you got two of the best teams in the nation on one and two of the worst teams in the nation on the other. What about Gorman? Do you think they have a shot in this game? I mean, namesake-wise, you wouldn't expect them to win it. De La Salle is such a huge power year after year, and I know Gorman's trying to get to that level, but maybe not up there with De La Salle yet.
Here's the thing. I think Gorman's team last year was probably designed a little more to beat that team. They were maybe a little more physical, especially defensively. I think a lot of times what folks fail to realize about this year's Gorman team is even though they're wearing the Gorman uniforms, they're not the Gorman of old. This is a team with like six sophomores and four junior starters on offense. Okay, and the one starter who's a senior is a center. So this is a team that's real young on offense. Sure, Shaq Powell's a junior. He's as good as they come by. He runs over people. I love how nasty he is. But I just don't know if Gorman, you know, is there to play a complete game right now. I know that they've had problems even against Clark in making tackles. And I know the offense is just so young. And then you factor in the quality opponent, the fact that it is a road game. Now, we know that, you know, Gorman, when they've traveled, and you saw it when they went to play Reed last year in the state semifinals, it's like a business trip. It's very structured. It's very organized. Like every piece of bread every player eats is calculated. So Gorman is set up to travel better than anybody else. But we're not talking, you know, a Southwest flight to Reno to beat up on, you know, Reed High with two, you know, semi-decent linemen. We're talking like a 10-hour bus or more bus ride to Northern California to play like the best ever high school football team. We're talking 12 years without a loss. We're talking five USA Today national champions. Now, granted, it's probably not the same team that won all those, but it's still De La Salle. It's still that program that turns people over. I just don't see Gorman. I want Gorman to win the game. I will say that. Journalist Case, we're supposed to be objective. I want Gorman to win. I think it would be great publicity for the kids we cover in our area. I just don't see it happening, man.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. You know, I'd like to see Gorman win this game, too, for Las Vegas. If you think that it wouldn't increase exposure in this area, you're crazy. I mean, if you beat De La Salle, it's going to bring even more recruiters to this area. Seeing teams that Gorman plays, then they're going to go check out other kids. That's just how it works. But it's just hard for me to imagine this. Look, Gorman, we all know, beats up on everyone they play in Nevada, wins 70-0, 63-0, whatever. Well, De La Salle does the same thing, pretty much, but it's against these California big schools that, no offense, but I think are a lot better than Clark. That's why I don't see Gorman winning this game. You know, maybe in a couple years as this program keeps getting built up, they'll be able to challenge powers like this. And I think it could be a close game, but I just don't like Gorman's chances.
Case, could we compare Gorman to like Boise State? Like Nevada's kind of like the whack. You know, we're not really known for our quality, but our good teams like Gorman, which is Boise, or Palo Verde, which is UNR. I'm sorry to say that, Coach Rost. You know, are you know, the WAC's top two or three teams, like, you know, UNR, Fresno, Boise, are kind of like Gorman, Palo, Vegas, and now Gorman's like Boise State, and they're traveling to play like, I don't know, I don't want to compare Virginia Tech because I don't think they're a good team, but they're traveling to play like Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl that year, and everybody's just like, yeah, you know, Boise State's a nice story, you know, Gorman's a nice story, we love them, and we'll see what happens.
Definitely agree. I think you can make that comparison. Just last, really quick, if there's anything they can do to win this game, what do you think is going to be the key for them? And are you sticking with your pick that you made? I know in the picks that De La Salle is going to win this game.
You know, I'm going to stick with that pick just because of the, you know, the on the road inexperience for Gorman offensively. But for them to win, I think they could control the clock. You know, Shaq Powell's a great tailback. They've got a great offensive line. You know, the senior A.C. Patterson's going to UTEP. The tackle, Ronnie Stanley's, you know, one of the top tackles for the class of 2012. So maybe Gorman controls the clock a little bit, and we could see what happens. It's, you know, obviously a long shot. Maybe, Case, I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. Everybody knows that. Hey, I picked Basic last week, so you know I've been wrong, right?
Right, but I'm going to have to go with you. I like De La Salle, but let's get back. Let's get out of California, back into Nevada. Ray, I wasn't very good at math, I think, in high school. I think about this when I'm in high school football games. I'm guessing you probably weren't either. So sometimes I'd sit in class and just kind of scratch my head. You know, I don't understand geometry or this crazy algebra stuff going on. Well, after last week's game, I had that same feeling about football. I don't understand what's going on. First of all, we don't even have to start getting into all the upsets, but we hype up the Southeast as being so great, and a bunch of teams lose last week. Del Sol goes and loses. Basic goes plays Coronado, who's supposed to be the doormat, supposed to lose every game. Coronado beats them. Silverado and Liberty was supposed to be a really good game, and it was close, but Liberty won easily. And that's just in the Southeast, not to mention Faith Lutheran gets beat. Seven teams get shut out. It was just an insane week. What do you take most out of this week?
Well, on any given Friday night, I give you a perfect example. Clark isn't supposed to be that good. Durango, we all think is, you know, better than average. And Clark, you know, has them on the run all game before Durango prevails by 3 points. They could have lost the game. So I think a lot of times kids might be too guilty and maybe looking at our picks, for example, and saying, oh, Kiefer and Brewer both think we should beat Coronado by 40 points. All we got to do is show up, and that's going to happen. And obviously, you know, that's why they play the games. And you got to give Coronado credit. They've won one league game in the last 2 years. Now, all of a sudden, they're undefeated in first place. And, you know, if you could come up with a good scheme and you could start moving the ball and, you know, shorten the clock down and gain some confidence and get a little bit of a lead and show that you could play, and the next thing you know, the tide's turned and things are on your side. It was just crazy. Kiefer, you were at the Liberty game. I've been beating the Liberty Patriot drum, fellas, since day one, since this summer. I went to a practice. I couldn't tell the difference between the coaches and the kids. They were that big and physical. Kiefer, you made it back to the office with no bruises. Nobody tackled you. How big and physical are my Liberty High Patriots, the red, white, and blue of the Southeast?
I mean, it's crazy. I mentioned before that this was a close game the whole way. Then Liberty, I think, had three interceptions of Silverado's quarterback, Moniz. They had one in the third quarter when it was only 3-0. I think, yeah, 3-0. And it was amazing, the physicality. What they said was, we're just gonna hand the ball to the fullback for 4 yards at a time. They started at the 29-yard line, just handed it off to the fullback for about 5 minutes. The longest play was a pass interference penalty, I think, it was an offsides penalty. A 5-yard offsides penalty on Silverado was the biggest play of their drive. To have the power to just say, we're going to run it right at you and there's nothing you can do, I mean, how deflating is that? And I don't think there's any team in Las Vegas that Liberty can't say that. I'm not saying they'll beat everyone. I'm not saying that they're going to beat Bishop Gorman in the playoffs, but it's just amazing the way that they can do that, something you don't see that often in high school football.
And Ty Bird, the tailback for Gorman, I know when they played Palo, I mean, Ty Bird, the tailback for Liberty, when Liberty played Palo to open the season, he looked as good as Brandon Wright, and I saw part of the Silverado game on TV. Ty Bird looked as good as usual. When he's not slashing and dashing through the hole, they give it to big old Nico Capelli, the fullback, only a sophomore, bang, 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 pads are hitting, and this Liberty team is for real. I'd like to see him match up with Gorman and just have a, you know, a black and blue hard-hitting battle. I know Brandon Wright, the stud from Palo, said, hey, this was as beat up as I've ever been after a game, after he played Liberty. They're the real deal. What about Silverado? They look good the first 2 weeks. They shut out Desert Oasis 28-0. They rock and rolled over a weak El Dorado team. I know Randall Cunningham's the offensive coordinator. The offense was supposed to be a little more dynamic this year, a little more balanced. They go, they put up a bagel. Is Silverado as bad as that 27-0 score, Case, or are they still a team that could make some noise in the Southeast?
I think they can make some noise. They're definitely a playoff contender. But look, I'm not as high on them as everyone else. A lot of people, including yourself, are putting them as a lock in the playoffs. I don't think they're a lock. I mean, you look at that last spot, it's probably, I mean, now Coronado's even in the race, but
trust me, the only race Coronado's in is to who's going to turn their pads in first.
but you know, I'm impressed with Silverado, but not blown away by any means. I think it's going to be a great program. I think everyone saw Randall Cunningham's name attached and just said, oh, right away, this is going to be a top 3, top 5 program in Las Vegas. And in all honesty, whenever you get a coach, whatever level of football it is, it takes a few years for the, for that to develop. They got some really good young players. I wouldn't even be surprised if they missed the playoffs this year. I'm still picking them to make it, but it wouldn't surprise me that much. But look a couple years down the line, I think that they're going to be a power in the Southeast.
All right, let me ask you this. You've seen Basic and Silverado both play, two teams that we both kind of expected to be in the playoffs in the Southeast. Now both of them are 0-1 in the league, and what do you know, they're meeting this week. Case, who wins the game?
I'm going to have to go separate with you here. I like Basic. I really honestly do think it's a coin flip, though. They're probably about equal. But look, I can only go off what I've seen, and I've seen both teams once. And to me, Basic looked better. Silverado looked like they have make a lot of mistakes. You can't make mistakes. Basic, there's no way they're going to make mistakes this week when, you know, Coach Cahill, I think, even with all you've said about Basic and all you've gone back and forth, their fans, you've always respected Coach Cahill for the job he does. And if he doesn't have that team focused, I can't imagine him not having that team focused after what happened last week.
They overlooked Coronado. It was like, boy, we got to go cruise over into Anthem and beat up on the Cougars, and we'll come back and take our women to the movies and to Sonic, and we'll call it a good week. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy how on any given night. Now, I'm not saying Pahrump is going to go hang with anybody, but a team that could pitch and catch or could run the ball or that has some kind of clue, like obviously Coronado proved it did, more power to them. And congratulations to the Cougars. I mean, 3 years in a row they've had a new coach. This coach comes in July or August, and now all of a sudden they've got some momentum. They've got a winning record. If they could end the season right now, they'd pass out trophies and be happy with it.
Right. Well, we don't want to spend all our time in the Southeast, so let's jump over to the Northwest. Some really intriguing games last week in there, too. Faith Lutheran went down to Cimarron. Cimarron won two in a row now, a team not a lot of people were expecting a lot out of. Arborview still undefeated. What sticks out to you about the Northwest?
Well, I think Cimarron Memorial did the whole Valley a favor, because trying to figure out how to beat the passing attack of Portero, the quarterback, Pearson, and Luby from Faith Lutheran looks like it's going to be complicated. Well, Cimarron never let him on the field. Christian Brown, 300 yards plus rushing. Run the clock. Faith's got a lot of linemen playing both ways. And Cimarron just smacked them in the mouth. They were more physical than that Faith Lutheran team. How did they beat Cheyenne the week before? They were more physical than Cheyenne. They smacked Cheyenne around. It's a Cimarron team that I said wasn't going to continue its impressive streak of, what, 15-plus years making the playoffs. I said, you know, they've got low numbers. They only had, like, Christian Brown was their only returning starter. Well, what do you know? Brandon Robinson's a real player. He's had two pick sixes back-to-back weeks. And this Cimarron team is would we disrespect Palo Verde if Palo Verde lost everybody? Probably not. But we disrespect Cimarron because they lose everybody. So you got to give Cimarron its props. They're going to play Palo this week. Both teams are undefeated in the league. As usual, both powers going head-to-head, Case.
Right. Some other teams, though, in the Northwest were shut out last week, which wasn't rare. Seven teams didn't even put up a point last week. Why does this happen so often here, Ray?
It's just, Case, there's a handful of teams in town, a lot of them in the inner city, who shouldn't be playing in the 4A. It's that simple. My alma mater, Chaparral, 18 players, four coaches in the varsity program. They don't even keep a coach in the press box. They should be playing in the 3A. That would fit in great with Boulder City and Virgin Valley. You know, Western can't score a point. They should be playing in the 3A. They'd fit in great with Chaparral, Boulder City, and Virgin Valley. But when they come up with the realignment, and my Cowboys are pegged to go down to the 3A, they're making announcements at the football game. Hey, we got to play with the big boys. We're Chap. We're always with the big boys. Well, no, you're not. And it's unfair to the kids. The kids aren't having fun losing 55-0 each week. The kids aren't having fun not winning a game in 2 years. The kids want to play for something. They want to be in meaningful games. They want to go to the playoffs. I wish people would embrace this realignment so we could have some fun. It's no fun when you lose 55-0. It's like, hey, Coach, it's Ray. How'd you do tonight? Well, we gave up a 70-something. Who knows what it was? And, I'm down to my fifth-string quarterback, and we have no JV team. That's every school. And it's getting a little bit ridiculous. And even for, like, Vegas. You know, Vegas is a perennial power. They're not going to be challenged again until the playoffs. We don't even know if Vegas is good or not. They beat up on a Cimarron team the first week that wasn't ready. They went to Utah for 2 weeks. Nobody saw them. And now they're going to beat up on Valley, Desert Pine, Sunrise Mountain, Chaparral. Who knows, Case?
I got to agree. I mean, some of these teams that are just look so bad, they get beat so bad every week. Wouldn't it be intriguing to see them go against the other teams that have the same problem as them? But I guess that just makes too much sense. Let's get on to this week. Hopefully all the games will be competitive this week, but that's what we always hope. Let's start off right away. Homecoming at Coronado. They're hosting Green Valley, coming off the biggest win in the last probably 3 or 4 years. Do you think Coronado goes to 2-0 in league play?
I can't believe I'm going to say yes. They've got momentum on their side. And Green Valley is a team that's struggling, doing a lot of things right now. It's going to be a close game. It always is because the schools are so close. I give my W to the Cougars.
We always throw out our music here. Well, why we didn't have a podcast last week is because I was in New York City. One of the things I did in New York City is I went and saw Eminem at Yankee Stadium. Do you know what song he closed with, Brewer? Could you guess? He closed with Lose Yourself, and it starts with Snap back to reality. That's what's going to happen to Coronado. Green Valley with the upset this week. Coronado snapping back to gravity. Here we go next. Liberty at Del Sol. Del Sol struggled a little bit, already lost two games. Liberty undefeated.
This is a big game for Liberty because, sure, they beat Silverado, but for all intents and purposes, it's still a neighborhood rivalry. This is still Del Sol's league. Del Sol hasn't played a league game yet. Del Sol's the defending region champion, and even though they're 2-2, looking like they're struggling, they still got to, you know, this is still Del Sol's game to lose. With that said, I think Liberty is just so awesome. I take the Patriots.
As long as Liberty is focused, they should beat Del Sol, but hey, Del Sol's not going to roll over. Still a strong team despite their record. We already touched on this one, but homecoming at Basic, too, hosting Silverado. Really think it should be a great game, and this game is going to be huge implications for league play because one of these two teams is going to be 0-2.
Yeah, and whoever's 0-2 is going to have a tough, tough hill to climb to get back into it. Maybe I'm drinking the Silverado punch a little too heavily, but I just don't see Silverado losing that game. I mean, they still have Liddell Jackson, who I guess has been a non-factor pretty much all year, but I think Silverado is just better than Basic.
Probably shouldn't get ahead of myself. I think we skipped the Thursday game. Pretty big game in the Northwest. Legacy at Arborview. Arborview undefeated, but Legacy looking to get back in the playoff chase. Probably can't afford another loss.
They can't, and here's the deal with Arborview. We don't know how good they are because they beat up on Rancho, they beat up on Valley, but everybody does that. And then they beat up on a Mojave team that's kind of in the same boat, but they kind of gave up like 20 points against Mojave, which, as you know, is kind of a little bit of a black eye. I think Legacy still controls the clock well. I still think they got a power running game, and they are the defending league champs. I take the Legacy Longhorns.
I have no idea what to think of this game. I haven't seen either team, but slightly lean towards Legacy, but wouldn't be surprised if Arborview took it down. Next, you saw your Cowboys last week. Any chance this week going to Rancho for Chaparral?
They could be playing Rancho's JV team and not have a chance. My Cowboys, I will tell you, they got a real nice receiver. Case, I sent you a text message. I said, this kid is the best receiver in town. His last name is Williams. He's only a junior. I might go write a story on him and you know, get him to sign my football. But I listen, I want Rancho's not that good. And Shap's not as bad as I make him out to be because I'm such a pessimist. But I think it's going to be closer than people think on this game, honestly. But I think in the end, Rancho probably just has a few too many bodies for the Cowboys.
From one of your favorite Williams to a Williams that's a favorite of both of ours, El Dorado, one of my favorite players in the Valley, Ja'Cory Williams at quarterback, hosting Desert Pines. Can El Dorado keep this thing rolling? And what will they move to, 3-1 for the Sun Devils?
3-1. Listen, Desert Pines only lost to Foothill 31-12. They're big and physical up front. They return all their running backs. But still, I think Ja'Cory Williams, you just can't contain the kid. He's a great quarterback. Desert Pines probably is better at 10 of the 11 positions than L-Dog, but I think that one player makes a difference. I'm picking the Sun Devils. Might be setting myself up for failure, but I'm picking the Sun Devils.
Kind of scared for this one. Canyon Springs hosts Sunrise Mountain. Should be a pretty lopsided score over in Canyon Springs.
Eddie Smith, the fourth. Canyon Springs is all league linebackers out with a broken foot for probably another 2 or 3 weeks. Canyon Springs could play its eighth grade team and still beat Sunrise Mountain. Pick your favorite score. Nintendo numbers, brother.
Could Las Vegas play their eighth grade team and still beat Valley?
Valley is Valley's not good right now, but 3 years ago, Valley did beat Vegas in one of those like head-scratching upsets. So anything is possible, but if it happens again, I'll walk from the office to Vegas high in protest. I'll take Vegas.
Sierra Vista took about a 63-0 or something like that beating at Bishop Gorman last week. Now they're hosting Clark. Should be a little bit dropping competition, I'd say, but still don't see them getting the win. Do you agree?
God, those two teams would look great in a 3A league together, wouldn't they? I'll take Clark.
A pretty big game for playoff implications in that division. Desert Oasis at Spring Valley. I really like Spring Valley, but I think you like Desert Oasis. Why do you like Desert Oasis in this game?
Well, I think the safe thing to say is that both Desert Oasis and Spring Valley are going to make the playoffs, but I think whoever loses this game might be forced to play Palo in the first round, which isn't too fun. I just think Desert Oasis, they put up 70-some against Bonanza last week, which everybody's putting up 70-some against Bonanza, but you still have to be able to, you know, do a little something to score that much. Desert Oasis, only a third-year school, very organized. They got a lot of kids in the program, a lot of interest. I just think they're better than Spring Valley, which, you know, that's all I got. But
well, Durango hosting Pahrump should be another a pretty big beating taken by the Trojans.
I think Pahrump should be playing in the 2A. How's that? Skip that 3A level. They just go down to the 2A.
Another proposed member of Brewers 3A, Western at Bonanza. Bonanza, I mean, it's such a shame. They have such a great player in Deshaun Martin, but just, I mean, can't stop anyone. I don't understand how you can give up 70 points every week in high school football.
I feel like Bonanza's playing defense with, like, only 9 kids out there.
Or 4.
Yeah, Western's awful, and Western can't score. I mean, this game is really intriguing. I can't even remember who I picked because I can make an argument for both schools. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to take whoever. You pick for me. It's just a shame that Bonanza can't play defense.
Yeah, I like Bonanza finally to get a win this week, but I don't think it would shock anyone. Any score that anybody can put up on Bonanza is not shocking at this point. Shadow Ridge dropped their first game last week, hosting Centennial. They really need this win to not drop 0-2. If they actually think they have a chance at the playoffs, this would be the game to prove it.
I would agree with you. I like Centennial. I think, you know, Taj Cole and Willie White are two elite players. And, you know, Shadow is, you know, even though they've got a lot of seniors and they've been waiting for this year and they showed a little promise in the preseason, they scored 7 points last week against a legacy team that, you know, only returned one starter. You got to like the Bulldogs.
To me, this is an intriguing game. The last two teams the Cimarron has beat up on, Faith Lutheran at Cheyenne. Cheyenne really struggled the first week with Cimarron, like I said, and then came back and beat Del Sol. But Faith Lutheran obviously presents all new challenges for the Desert Shields.
I give Cheyenne a mulligan in that first game against Cimarron. It was their first game of the year, you know, and other teams had more games under their feet. So it was a new coach with some new players just getting their feet wet. If Cheyenne's smart, they put in the tape of the Cimarron game and do the same thing, and that's jam the ball up the middle. Kind of find it interesting that Cheyenne goes for 2 on every touchdown. It'd be nice if they had a kicker, but I'm going to still go with Faith Lutheran. You'd be crazy. They got 3 D1 kids.
Another game we talked about, big in the Northwest, 2 undefeated teams, Palo Verde at Cimarron. From the looks of it, Palo is far superior. Is there any way that Cimarron can give them a scare?
I'm not going to pick against Palo until they play Gorman. With that said, I think that this game is going to be a lot closer than folks think. I think Cimarron's got a lot of confidence right now, and they're getting some rhythm with the way they run the ball. Palo obviously runs the ball. I think the game's going to be in the 20s, and it's going to get over real quick.
Foothill, undefeated team. Possibly, I mean, they could win the Southeast. Possibly. They still got to play all those good teams in October, but they're hosting Boulder City. Should be another walkthrough for them.
It should be. I don't know what's going on with the schedule makers. I mean, Virgin Valley plays Cheyenne's JV team. Boulder City plays Foothill. You know, the 3A is such an embarrassment. I'd hate to be one of those schools. I mean, they're, you know, 3-team league, nobody to play, nobody cares about you, nobody wants to join your league. You know, why even have – maybe just field an, you know, a all-girls powder puff team and go play, like, you know, Pahrump's JV team on a Friday night.
The last local game, the final homecoming of the week. We got 3 homecomings. Seems kind of early for homecoming, but Mojave is hosting Virgin Valley. Mojave's really struggled the last few years. Could they beat up on this 3A team and make their homecoming a success?
If they do, I don't know. It would be crazy. I think Virgin Valley rolls. I mean, the thing is, Case, you're asking me to talk about all these teams, and we do this every week, but it's so embarrassing to see some of these teams and how bad they are. It's like, are you guys playing football? It just drives me crazy, man. And I hate to ridicule all these coaches because they're good guys. It's just they're dealt. It's like, you know, it's like, Case, I want you to go bake us some chocolate chip cookies, but I'm not going to give you any of the chocolate chips. You're going to try to make that without the chips. You know, these schools are like trying to fill the football team with 17 kids. You walk the sidelines, there's six kids on the bench. You can't do that.
Sounds pretty difficult to me. I also have to take Virgin Valley in this. I think Virgin Valley is pretty good this year. Had a rough year last year, but are really going to bounce back and probably put up a winning season this year. That does it for us. We will be back next week. We'll see you at the games.